Hi, I'm Mike White.
And I'm Rob St. Mary.
And we're the hosts of the Projection Booth podcast.
If you haven't heard of the Projection Booth, that's okay.
But we think it's time that you have.
We've been doing this for over 3 years now.
And we think we're doing a pretty good show.
Every week we look at a different film and put it in context.
We try to bring you interviews with the people behind the films.
Or experts on a subject matter covered in the film.
We don't specialize in any one particular genre or type of film.
We try to examine every aspect of cinema.
From every corner of the globe.
Even at 3 years, we barely just scratched the surface.
But we're ready. We're ready for you to listen to us.
That's right. Now's the time to give us a shot.
Download us through our free smartphone app.
Or through Stitcher, iTunes, Geek Juice Radio, Jackalope.
Or our website.
Projection-booth.com.
We'll keep making great shows.
Now it's your turn to listen to them.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. From AsmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Friday nights, I do karaoke. You should come do that with me.
Yeah, okay.
It's seriously.
Yeah.
Well, this Saturday night, you have kids, though. My buddy's
No, I don't, actually. No? This weekend, I am free.
This Saturday night, it's a buddy of mine's birthday. And it's so great, man, because this bar, like, reminds you of just, like, I don't know, like a Lily's type bar or something like that, you know? Or what is it now? Painted Lady? Sorry. You may know it as a Painted Lady. I think of it as Lily's.
I've known it as both.
Okay.
I've been there when it was Lily's, and I played, Teleclusion played there more than a few times.
Okay.
That the place next to the grocery store that always has the rotten meat in the dumpster.
Yeah.
It was so bad one time I couldn't step outside.
Yeah. Oh, I know, man. Just,
I was going to the bathrooms for refuge.
I'm like Mike. It's like I'm gagging. Like, that was, dude, I had the hardest time not picking on that kid.
Holy
shit,
you are?
That's a bald head. You look good, man. I think I only see you with a hat.
And this is not as tight as I usually keep it.
That's pretty
winter
right
time,
there.
So I get laid.
Are you in a Marriott?
I am in a Hampton Inn.
Hampton Inn? I like Hampton Inns. Oh, yeah, I see the headboard now.
This time in the great state of New Jersey, America's armpit.
Yeah, nice.
So no Rich again, I'm guessing. I didn't hear from him, dude, but I saw on Facebook that he was having car troubles again.
Oh.
So
where's I could have picked him up, I guess. Where does he live? Like way the hell out of here?
In 7 Mile in Southfield.
Oh, shit. No, I wouldn't have picked him up.
That's way closer to where he used to live. He used to live in West Lane.
Wow. Dude, it's Rich doesn't like me. That's why he's not here.
He's actually bummed he keeps missing it, but what are you going to do? He'll be back eventually.
Hey, you. Yeah, talking to you. You listening. I want to thank you for listening, liking, and sharing Unregimented on Facebook. Thanks for following us on Twitter, at UnregimentedPod. You can subscribe to Unregimented on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Android users, you can find Unregimented on Stitcher Radio. Hey, you can now listen to a new episode of a Christopher Media show every day of the week. Sundays, we have Matt and Mark, also known as Eminem, Questioning Everything. Mondays and Thursdays, you have Unregimented. Tuesdays, you have the Weedsman Podcast Bonus Nugget. So pretty much all the stuff that it wasn't good enough to make the big show, but wasn't shitty enough to make the cutting room floor, so to speak. But we have a little bit more fun, and we put that out on Tuesdays for you. Also on Tuesdays, the Toddzilla X-Pod, whenever he feels like it. He's talking about being more consistent, but, you know, Todd, he's rogue. He's a wild card. Does what he wants. But you got to listen. He's recently changed it to... He's telling his stories of his travels. He started traveling the world here about 5 years ago. Tries to go at least once a year. And it's very, very... I know the stories, and I'm still listening because I'm just engrossed in what's going on. So check that out. Also, Wednesdays, we have our new show, The Oddcast with Jenna and John. Also, The Projection Booth. If you haven't heard... Those guys mentioned as a top 10 movie podcast by IndieWire.com. One of only two podcasts that are independent. Everything else is either tied to a radio station or a movie studio. So that's pretty cool for them. Check those guys out. And Friday, of course, the Weedsman podcast, The Big Kahuna, if I didn't already mention it. And Saturday's new show, The Captain's Table with Noah. For all of you out there in the nerd culture, the geek culture, the gamer culture, whatever you want, video games, RPGs, LARPing. Noah's talking about it on the Captain's Table. If you like what we do and you would like to show your support for us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Also, it is the time of year you're using Amazon.
A lot more than you probably are normally. I know I am. What you can do is you can go to ChristopherMedia.net. You click through the Amazon banner. You bookmark the page. It's not going to cost you anything extra. And when you buy something, it's going to help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com. Daily fantasy sports leagues, no season-long commitments. You can enter free or paid contests and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. Yeah, I know a lot of you fantasy football playoffs are happening. Perhaps your Super Bowl is already going on or has already happened. But fantasy football keeps on rolling at DraftKings.com. Can get a little lucrative during the playoffs, too. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you'll get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com.
We can talk about Slayer. I know you guys threw all your Slayer away. I know.
I actually saw them a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Being
50 plus, they still kick ass.
They do
kick ass. I've never been a huge fan, but it's like...
I'll admit there are better bands out there, but just for when they did it, it's like Black Sabbath to me. Like they're the next evolution of rock, because like everybody who's in that genre now is like followed Slayer. You know, Slipknot, Sepultura.
Right.
You know, like Sepultura is totally awesome and a better band than Slayer is. But you have to talk about it in
context.
Right.
Like kids these days. Let's talk about kids these days.
One thing
they don't know.
I liked about Slayer is they did not sound like Cookie Monster.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know they're. But a
they set the standard for metal now, but. Mm-hmm. No Cookie Monster.
A teenager now, most of them hearing Black Sabbath is like, this sounds kind of weak. Like,
yeah,
this is my grandpa's
everyone, music. This is what was so crazy.
It's so heavy, though. Like, I don't know. I don't know. My kids love Black Sabbath.
I'm not dissing.
I know you're not dissing.
But when you think about it, it's
like the Beatles sound weak to
you
us.
You have to have it in context of what was happening at that time.
Yeah, Beatles,
there was
Elvis Presley.
Nothing else like that. There was nothing else like Black Sabbath at the time.
And there was nothing else like Slayer at the time, because it was all hair metal bands.
Right.
And Slayer was a hair metal band at first,
sure.
But they came out of like, they were saying some nasty shit about some nasty shit. It was like, wow, that's... Like, wow. And listen to them guitar riffs. They just rule.
Yes, they do.
The one thing I'll say about Slayer, Kerry King, I think very overrated.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If you listen to his solos, technically as a player.
It's Jeff Hanneman all the way. I mean,
there's a lot of sloppiness going on with Kerry King.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how I feel about Jimmy Page.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
of people revere Jimmy Page, but if you really listen to him technically, might not want to. Put the booze down a little bit when you recorded your solos.
Have I said this before? He's a better composer than he is guitar player. Mm-hmm. That's what he should be remembered for. He's composed some beautiful songs.
Props to you, dude, for being such a fucking music snob. Props to you.
And I even think the same thing about, I will qualify this, Jimi Hendrix is my favorite guitar player.
Uh-huh,
However, if you listen to him technically, not the greatest. It was about how Jimmy played, not what Jimmy played.
What about Randy Rhoads? What do you think of Randy Rhoads?
Yeah.
I think he's good, but I think I think Randy Rhoads kind of started that how many notes can we jam into 16 bars?
Yeah.
Okay, but
when you're
talking about Jimi Hendrix not being technically the most accurate, that's like, you know, watching Dogtown and Z-Boys and going, you know, these guys weren't even that good at skateboarding. Like, they were on the edge of it. They were pioneering something new.
Well, Jimmy made it about how you played your guitar, not what you were playing.
Absolutely.
Right.
And how many buttons are undone on your shirt.
Yeah. How many scarves can I tie to this microphone? All right.
War's
so
up.
It's not like we don't have things to talk about.
First off, I just want to say that the sax player from the Rolling Stones passed away.
I was going to say that initially. Wait,
Keys was his last name? What was his last name?
Forget.
But yeah, we have other shit to talk about.
Yeah, why? No, this is great. I mean, I love talking about music. So we do half the time on either
kind
podcast.
Of our wheelhouse.
Yeah. I'm just regurgitating like a snippet I read on Facebook. So.
No, I did too. I wouldn't have known him from Adam.
I did look it up though, because it said his name, and I'm like, from Rolling Stone, I'm like saxophone player. I'm like, oh wow, yeah, that dude's fucking amazing.
I didn't even know they had a saxophone player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, it's probably their touring band.
No, he was on an album. There was like a badass sax solo. No,
think about like he was okay. So he was their saxophone player in the 60s and 70s, I guess.
Yeah,
and then came back for the
right.
Like I guess in the middle of the 90s.
Yeah, and he was playing, he just played
Bobby
with
Keys, by the way.
Thank you, Bobby Keys.
Bobby Keys.
Yeah, I said Keys. Hey, are you like that? Go memory away. Go away memory.
Yeah, but he was basically gone from the Stones during the period where saxophones weren't really that cool. It was all about electric guitars and keyboards.
Yeah.
Nobody put a saxophone on a pop song.
Yeah, those days are done.
No, they're not. Now they just have sample blasts of saxophones. Who just did that? That Iggy Azalea chick? Was it her or the Adriana Grande? I can't remember her name. She's a Disney girl or a Nickelodeon girl or something like that.
I was talking to my girlfriend about her over the weekend. All that bitch does is yell. She doesn't sing. Oh, ever hear her? It's like she's always yelling.
Okay, but yeah.
What a terrible note she attempts to hit.
Real quick, I found some footage of Bobby Keys playing. Now, when I think of the only song that I can actually think of that features predominantly saxophone on it is, can you guess?
Can you hear me knocking?
No.
Nope.
Is it No More? Is that the name of the song? What the hell's the name of that song?
Brown Sugar?
Brown Sugar is a big one.
No.
There is sax in Brown Sugar, though.
One of my favorite. This is one of my absolute favorite Stone songs. Even though I know it's a total, like, disco era.
Oh.
Oh, Miss You?
Yeah.
Now, can you hear the saxophone solo in your head now?
Yeah.
When it starts out, butter, 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 butter.
In the Stones disco phase.
Whatever, man, it ruled. Stones fucking kick ass. They kicked some major ass back.
You ever heard Emotional Rescue? Ouch.
I just think Charlie Watts is like the most badass drummer.
Yeah.
Never misses a beat and never shows anything on his face.
Right.
Yeah, no emotion.
Neil Peart's like that, too.
Yeah.
Neil Peart, man, that motherfucker plays some drums.
Oh, Mick Jagger's getting down on the
he's got the
on
moves
the strat.
Like Jagger.
He's stratting out there. You don't see him playing much guitar.
There he is right there, Mr. Keys.
Who, Mick?
Yeah.
Took a break from bird walking to pick up a guitar.
Oh, yeah, I taught him a couple chords.
I think he's really playing it.
It's probably not even plugged
in.
It's plugged in, but you think he's really playing it?
Well, at least they plugged it into the wireless system.
Yeah.
They did better than how they did Flea. What was that, the Super Bowl when they where they had Flea jumping around with nothing plugged in at all on his bass?
But I mean, as you two gentlemen who are also in bands, I mean, how can you be expected to hear yourself in that kind of environment?
No. I can't imagine.
Well, they got those awesome in-ear monitors. Those are, the molded to your eardrum monitor.
Yeah.
Like $1,300. Who the hell makes those?
I'm willing to bet after that Janet Jackson incident, everything is canned.
Yeah.
You know, they record it all so it sounds like they're playing live. They probably record it like the day before, and then they probably just play the track that they recorded.
Right, that's
so
perfect.
There's no surprises.
Because if you make them play to a track, then there's no chance for them to stop playing and whip their dicks out.
Yeah.
With a sock on it, of course. Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know. Just pointing out the fact that I'm actually surprised that they put the Red Hot Chili Peppers on stage after the Janet, not that it happened directly after, but...
But, I mean, their phase of that, the phase... Yeah.
It's all about California now.
That phase of their career is done. They don't do that shit anymore.
No, it's all about California now. That's all it is. Just California. Everything they talk about is California.
You know, I did recently find out that you're hitting on how it's all about California. That Californication, By the Way, and Danny California are actually a trilogy of songs that all go together.
It's still about California.
Actually, it's about a girl
named...
Are
we Chili Peppers?
Yeah. Chili Poppers.
Like, the Danny California is apparently the girl's name, and that's what all three songs are about, is this fictitious girl named Danny California.
Okay. It's still annoying.
Hey, it's all coming together.
It's all still annoying. A little local band news.
Yeah?
Of course, I'm going to, pump the amino acids. They were asked to audition for America's Got Talent in Chicago.
Whoa!
you
guys
want to
be on TV?
I won't be. They'll be on TV.
Oh, wait, that's what you
know. Are you still in the band?
No.
No, that's right.
I play Once in a Blue Moon. No.
Oh.
But it's my band, man. I still pop that shit.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, congrats to Scott. I mean,
hell
that's,
yeah. I'm happy
that's good
for
news.
Guys.
I saw that this morning, and good for him, man.
Yep.
I mean,
that's silly shit. I want to play it. I want to fucking play it. I'd play it. My wife asked me today. She goes, are you playing that? I'm like, are you divorcing me? Because I figured that's the only way I would be able to even get in there.
But if she's asking you, you're going, it means she might support it. You never know.
My wife and me in a band is not two things that go together. It's like oil and water. If I go play, usually I tell her, I'm going out tonight with the guys. And she'll be like, well, where are you going? I'm like, I'll tell her whatever bar I'm going to. You know, I'm not lying about that. And it's not that I'm lying about playing in the band ever. It's just she gets very annoyed when I say that I'm going to play in the amino acids.
I can't imagine.
It's the one thing that bothers me about my relationship, quite honestly.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing. She didn't make me choose or anything like that. I chose, but.
No, yeah. When I was married, my wife never made me choose anything. She was just like super pissy.
Right. Well, you know what? In my wife's defense, though, on this, when we were courting each other, I'm not a musician. And yeah. I was always into recording and stuff like that. You know, I did play guitar and stuff, attempt to. And when she's dating, she's like, I'm really not interested in dating any musicians. She's like, they drive me crazy. I don't like musicians. I'm like, well, there's no big deal. I'm not a musician.
Yeah, like, I can barely play.
Right. I told her, I'm like, I'm not a musician. I do recordings and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, amino acids, you know, I got asked to play in that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I wasn't thinking about it. Didn't even think about that going on. And her and I got married, and it was kind of like she got mugged at a show, and that changed everything.
I have been lucky. When I was in bands, the women I've been with have been very supportive, come to the shows,
yeah,
all that kind of crap. Never made me choose. Mm. Well, it's just unlike Jay's situation. It was, it came with me. It wasn't like, hey, we're dating, now I'm in a band. It was like, no.
Right.
It was already there. It was established. This is going to happen on Tuesday nights. I will be, you know, wherever. Ironically, Tuesday always ended up being practice day, no matter what band I was in. I just think that's how people's schedules shake out. But yeah, it's Tuesday, I'll be here, and there'll be gigs, and you can come to them, and you can get in for free, and I'll buy you drinks. And yeah, it's the end of that.
Yeah, I never... Well, at the time when I met Nicole, I probably hadn't touched my guitar in years. Like, I was all into buying records, being a DJ, all that shit. But decided to pick it back up. The only reason I got away with being in a band is because it was a friend of hers who needed first a drummer, which all I did was play a snare drum with the brushes, and later the bass player for that band. But anytime that I would try and, you know, I want to go and work on something, on my own music, I got like the stink eye or the attitude afterwards, or like, how, you know, you don't want to spend any time with me, that type of shit. I would never have gotten away with being in a band that would, you know, actually do anything, mm-hmm. have regular practices, play shows on the weekends, go out of town anywhere. No. That was off the plate. That was not on the menu.
Ah. Well, might speak to why I am 35 and single, but whatever.
Well, hey.
No alimony, no child support. There's a game. I'm winning it.
The first thing I did, though, is after we split, I joined as many bands as I could. there was definitely resentment built up.
I'm in 7 bands. I practice every day with 1 band.
Yeah, I tried to.
I don't know, man. I picked up my guitar recently, started playing again.
Yeah, I did the other night, too.
But, man, I think that last band killed something inside of me.
Oh, man.
I don't get the same feeling I got. And I'm not blaming it solely on the last band, okay?
Right. You're not pointing fingers or anything.
No, I'm saying more than likely the last band was maybe the final nail in the coffin. You know, it was the 2 bands before that that took everything out of me.
Right, because then, every other time you've been able to go into it going, but this time it'll be different.
Yeah, and just with...
and it's not. And just can't lie to yourself like that anymore. I think that's what it is.
It's like I pick up my guitar now and, yeah, I play it and whatever and fuck around with the iPad. Then it's sitting for the last 2 weeks since the last time I played it.
Yeah, I'm just going to write more short pieces, jingles and bumpers and shit like that. That's all I'm really interested in. You're trying to make a pop song. God, what a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah, if I work on anything, it's going to be like pretty much kind of co-signing what you're doing with the Weedsmen. I'll probably make little jams to to segue between topics for this show.
Right.
And that's about it. I even thought about trying to contact Emily again. I don't even want to fuck with it. I don't know. I'm digging this whole, it seems like the less people you work with, the more shit seems to get done.
Yeah.
Like with this, we seem to always manage to get this done.
Yeah. I just, if I had somebody around me that was like really motivated, wanted to make music and was like, hey, I need your help. I need you to play instruments for me or help me with, you know, recording shit. I'd probably be all about it. But mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out and seek that out myself right now. Just not in that
mode. Yeah, another part of it too is in just with working with other people. And this was in every band. We are adults. I shouldn't have to chase you down to fulfill an obligation.
Right. That, I think that's the difference that I'm trying to highlight there is not to say like I am the most highly motivated musician in the world, but you know, not having to feel like you're pulling teeth to get a rehearsal done, or I would only be able to work with somebody who was really passionate about what they were doing and self-driven, and I was feeling like I was helping them out in some way. That would I think be a much better relationship than trying to, like, I always felt like I was pulling more than my fair share of weight when it came to just showing up and getting songs done.
Yeah, at some point, motivation outweighs talent. In the case of Emily, I mean, I'll probably edit her name out, but well, she probably don't listen anyway, but, yeah. You know, great voice, no motivation.
Yeah.
Just wants to go out, drink, party, hang out. Music is something that she can fit in when she feels like it. So it's just dealing with, but she's just the example. Run into plenty of others just like that. Hey, you're a great drummer when you show up. You
yeah.
know? Hey, you're a great singer when you show up. You know, just tired of dealing with all of that crap. Everyone, oh, I'm busy. We're all busy, all right? Everyone, you know, you can't carve out 2 hours in your week to come rehearse. It's obviously where your priorities are. I mean, shit, you work banker's hours. I obviously have my crazy schedule. We managed to fit this shit in somehow. You know, it's I just hearken back to the whole philosophy of people who want to do things will figure out how to do things. So, well, it is what it is.
I guess when you're starting out as a band, it's when you're starting out anything, any project, you're starting from scratch or a company even, it's so easy to just go, well, it can just not get done because who the fuck's going to care anyway? No one's going to show up to our shows. You know, we're not going to get anything recorded. We're not going to get anything done anyways. Who the fuck cares? It's just not that important.
You know how many times I've had that feeling when I want to go to bed and I have a podcast to edit?
Yeah.
Or I have a social media schedule to do?
Right.
I feel that way all the time. But if you don't treat it like
a commitment,
you know, like especially when in my position, I'm setting the standard. If I go, oh, fuck it, we'll post it a day later, then you're going to think, oh, fuck it, I'll post it, you know, I'll right. edit it a day later,
yeah.
and so on and so on. And then we fall into one show a month, you know, right. or one show every couple of weeks, you know, and the same thing happens with bands. At the end of the last band, how rare were full rehearsals? You know,
yeah.
very rare.
Yeah.
It was usually like the rhythm section, me.
And to be fair, it was a big band. I never yeah. had to organize that many people. Not to say I was doing all the organizing, but I've never been involved in trying to organize that many people.
Yeah, but before. By the end, it was no secret when practice was. That's what was really yeah. grinding my gears at right. the end there. People sending messages. So what's up with tonight? Well, it's fucking Tuesday. What do you think is right. up with tonight? What have we done every Tuesday for the last 3 years?
Right. Yeah, you it was like the friends that I would hang out with in my 20s. I met some, you know, I met people that I liked. We hung out all the time. And I didn't have to call them up and be, well, what are you doing this weekend? What's going on? Can I come to that? It was just like, they would just fucking show up. Hey, it's Friday. They know I'm off work. I'm home by 6. They show up with some beer. You know, we get down for the weekend. Lost my train of thought there. I started talking about beer. I guess when it benefits you, a schedule is no problem. It's something that you easily take to. When you can look at it like, when you have a defeatist attitude going into it, then it's just a chore. It's just another yeah. job. Like, oh, I got to go to work. You know, like, hey, I come home from work and I'm like, oh, I'd rather just sit here and watch 5 episodes of The Simpsons, but I got to get up and get this thing edited because mm-hmm. I've made a commitment. Yeah. And, you know, sure, there's that initial part of it. It's like, oh, okay. But then you get down there and you get into it and you're like, it's not work. Like,
no.
It's time consuming, but it's not work.
Yeah, it's like tedious, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm not going to be breaking any limbs or pulling any muscles doing what I'm doing.
Right. If I could earn my salary doing this, I'd do it all day long, no problem.
Yeah. Hey, did you see the projection booth got mentioned on IndieWire's top 10 podcasts about film?
There's a lot of them out there. That's probably one of the top subjects for podcasts, and to have projection booth be recognized as that cream of the crop.
Yeah, they were one of only two independent podcasts
and well deserved.
Yes, everything else was tied to a radio station or a movie studio. But they're in some pretty decent company here. On this list, there's The Business, The Dissolve, which is on the Pitchfork Network.
Okay.
Film Spotting. That's a public out of Chicago Public Radio. Mm-hmm. Film Wax Radio. It's associated with Rooftop Films.
So some of these are produced radio shows that are being broadcast, and they have their podcast version as well.
The Frame. Malton on Movies. You know, a little guy named Leonard Malton. You might have heard of him. Oh, and then look, the projection booth.
Hey, that picture out there of that wonderful female.
Oh, yeah, the picture of the nude, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Isn't it? Isn't that?
Good Lord, man. I had a really hard time taking my eyes off of her.
Yeah.
That was, that's pretty amazing.
I had one place that I lived that was in the bathroom. I had to go.
Yeah, I would have had it in the bathroom, too.
But then, we got the internet.
Yeah, right. And the iPads come into the bathroom now. Yeah, that would be sitting in front of the toilet.
Yeah.
Amazing.
One of the most perfectly shaped human beings I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Or at least drawn that way.
Thank you, Photoshop. Thank you, Photoshop.
The photo. You know what he's talking about, don't you, Chris?
Yeah, but I forget if that picture's a...
The nude photo of the chick.
It's a black and white nude.
And she's sitting at a table.
We haven't jammed in the basement in so long. I forget what's on the walls.
Well, that's the thing. That's over in my corner where I used to play when we would jam with the band. I'd be over in that corner. And so, you know, if I was, frustrated, like Chris and I were just talking about, instances of being frustrated with bands that you work with, which I'm sure everybody goes through.
Oh, yeah.
I could just turn my back and stare at the wall and have a nice ass to look at least.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That was a wonderful, wonderful photograph.
All right. So what should we talk about first?
Holy shit, you guys waited for me. Wow, that's scary.
Oh, we've been kind of rambling about bands and shit. But as far as topics, I mean, I sent out some of the shit the other day that
I was reading some
that
of
I found interesting.
Well, there was
the malware I knew about.
A big piece of news today, though, coming out actually right across the river from where I'm staying, from New York City. Did you guys see that?
New York City?
Yeah.
New York City?
Eric Garner, the gentleman who was choked to death by a New York City police officer.
Oh, yeah.
The officer will not be indicted.
Oh, big surprise there.
Even though
the
whole entire incident is on videotape.
I haven't seen that. I'm going to watch the video.
Yeah, so
I want to get my perspective on this.
So have you heard...
Eric Garner, is that his name?
Garner, G-A-R-N-E-R.
Did you hear Obama's thing about how he wants to fund better surveillance of police, basically? We're talking about...
Go ahead.
Outfitting all the cops with GoPros, basically, or some equivalent of.
It'll protect everybody. That's... Go for it.
Okay,
it'll protect the cops,
but
it'll also protect the citizens.
Eric Garner's death was videotaped. It didn't protect him. It didn't give him any justice either. Do you think it's going to make that much difference?
I think people act differently when they know they're being watched.
Yeah.
I think that Eric Garner, I think that was somebody on the... I might be wrong, but I think that was somebody on the street that shot that.
Yeah. I think what you're going to see, though, is a lot more people whipping out their phones during regular traffic stops and encounters with police. Once they know, hey, I'm being videotaped, okay, well, then game on. I'm going to get my angle, too.
But I think that'll make everybody straighten up.
Right.
At least psychologically, I think that I think police will act different, and I think...
Well, you could argue that...
Act different.
You could argue that this police brutality thing has been going on since before the nation was the United States of America.
Yeah, that cop's choking a little too hard.
And it's just the spread of information these days that is bringing this to light.
Nobody choking right now.
It's horrible. He's crying for his mother.
I know, and I saw this question today on Facebook. What exactly is a legal chokehold? Because they're saying he used an illegal chokehold. I mean,
legal chokehold. It's a one-armed choke. It's not. You cannot grab. You cannot put your second
use it
hand
as a lever.
As like a lever.
He, yeah. He's this guy basically put one arm around his throat and used it as a lever, and used his other arm for force.
Right.
So probably crushed his windpipe.
Well, he's asthmatic.
Yeah.
Staten Island. My dad died Thursday after a count. Yeah. It was, yeah.
He was selling untaxed cigarettes just 2 months ago.
Garner
was
2 months ago
for a similar crime. But this time, he was adamant. Non-compliant, but not aggressive, demanding he be left alone. The video goes on to show officers wrestling Garner to the ground. The officer on his back, placing one arm around Garner's neck to subdue him. Police Commissioner Bratton called this maneuver a chokehold. Garner, who weighs more than 300 pounds and stands well over 6 feet tall, repeatedly tells police he could not breathe.
After he was telling him, I can't breathe,
he just went limp.
This woman, who identified herself as Garner's first cousin, said her loved one was not an aggressive person.
He wasn't a violent person. He was not at all.
Police say Garner went into cardiac arrest as he was being placed into custody. Less than 24 hours after his death, the area near Victory Boulevard and Bay Street became a rallying point for many in the community as they demanded justice. Meanwhile, in Manhattan,
like so many New Yorkers, I was very troubled by the video I reviewed earlier today.
Mayor de Blasio and Commissioner Bratton stood side by side, vowing a thorough investigation will be done.
Yeah.
It's too early good job
to jump to any conclusions.
But that's old video, huh?
Yeah.
Because obviously no justice was done. When I first heard that story, and we talked about it, I believe, on Unregimented, that kind of freaked the fuck out of me because, I mean, it's no secret. I've been in a holding cell a couple times, and I'm asthmatic. I've had, you know, I have to make sure that I keep an asthma inhaler with me at all times. You just don't know what's going to happen when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to, anytime that I've been incarcerated in a holding cell, I've had to have my asthma inhaler, but they won't let you have it in your cell. They won't let you keep it with you. They'll take it, they'll put it with your possessions, and then if you need it, you have to get somebody and ask them for it.
You have to get somebody.
Yeah. Like, you have to take your tin cup and rattle it against the bars until somebody comes.
I said, so while you're struggling to breathe, you have to wave somebody down and go, hey, can you go get this for me?
You just wave it to
camera. Right. Yeah.
I mean, meanwhile, you can die while you're waiting.
Well, mine's not the severe type of asthma that is like sudden onset, like it is with some people. You know, they'll just all of a sudden just choke up and can't breathe.
Like you feel it coming?
Yeah, I've got plenty of warning, and if I just relax and control my breathing, then I'll be all right. You know,
which is kind of hard to do when you're in a jail cell.
Yeah,
you're a little bit on edge.
You're already kind of, you know, on the edge of a panic attack, and then you have to like get a cop to. Anyway, I can feel definitely for that situation. I've never actually had a violent encounter with police. Because any time that I have encountered police, it's yes sir, no sir.
You just comply.
You do whatever the fuck they say, and nobody's ever fucked with me.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why the guy was put in a chokehold for selling Lucy's, because that's what he was doing. Well, he was selling loose cigarettes.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they said that he was busted 2 months before for doing the same thing, which is actually, you know, it's against the law. You can't sell loose cigarettes, man. But I mean, to get choked out for it?
No,
yeah, well, that's upset. They couldn't go, all right, third strike, put your hands behind your back.
Well, they did.
You know?
No, they told him to put his hands behind his back, and they said, don't fucking touch me. And he started flailing around. Well, I'm sorry, if you flail around when the police tell you to put your hands behind your back, you're gonna get hurt.
Mm.
I mean, do I think it's right that the guy got, I mean, the guy had a heart attack, okay? He had a heart attack. That's what they said he died from. That's all the information I have on it right now, so I'm not a professional. But watching that, the cop actually only did use a one-arm chokehold. I just looked at that.
Really?
Yeah, he only had one arm. His other arm was actually like kind of bracing him.
There's a legal and illegal chokehold. I mean, is that something that would probably vary from...
I don't think the chokehold's right, and I don't think the chokehold is right in that situation. Like, you know, like you don't put a guy in a chokehold. That's you can kill somebody with a chokehold. You know, that's like the whole thing with a chokehold. That's why you don't use two hands, because you'll snap somebody's throat really fast. But
I just wonder, like Ferguson, why there isn't at least a manslaughter charge. Like, we know you killed the guy. It's if someone, like, if you're on your way home tonight, Jay, and somebody jumps out in front of your car and you hit him, and you kill him, but you don't mean to, you're still going to go down for manslaughter.
Right. Because Ferguson was supposed to be self-defense. That's how the grand jury saw it. It was self-defense.
But this is, I don't know. The only thing I can come up with is it would be nice. In an ideal world, an incident like this would go down, unfortunately, and you could put an officer through the system and he could come out the other end proven innocent.
Right.
But now, just putting him through that process labels him as guilty in anybody else's eyes anyway.
Right.
So his life is fucked anyway. Well, look what happened to him.
Well, he quit.
He quit, yeah.
Yep, no severance, no nothing. He quit. He'll never be a cop again.
Yeah.
Never. Never even a security guard. He's done.
Fucking move. He's
isn't going to matter. But moving isn't going to matter. I mean, he's national news.
Him and Zimmerman can get a timeshare together.
I wouldn't go that far. I don't put him on the level of Zimmerman. Zimmerman's a fucking kook. This guy chose a career that puts him in harm's way, and he ended up killing somebody.
Yeah.
You know, he chose a career that puts him in harm's way, that you're a cop. You're going to get punched. I mean, you know, does that give you the right to shoot somebody? No.
Right. So a lot of this is poor training.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's been stated from like Ferguson, you know, everybody around there knows that, says that.
Speaking of
Well, there's
Ferguson,
that incident too in Cleveland that's kind of being overshadowed by Ferguson, that 12-year-old who got shot.
Yeah.
He had a, you know, people were complaining he had a BB gun on the playground, and the cops shot him before they even got to him. They shot him from a distance, from what I understand, from what I've read.
The kid reached in his pants for the BB gun.
Oh.
He actually had the BB gun completely out of his pants.
Oh.
And they shot him. And if you see the BB gun, I would shoot his ass too. I don't care. 12-year-olds, man, they kill people. You know, like they don't even
the police are approaching you and you're reaching for something.
It's a gun. It was a flat out gun. If you look at the picture, there was no orange markings or anything like that. It was actually modified to look like a real gun. People called the police because there was a kid walking around with a gun. Somebody said it might be a BB gun, but as a police officer, man, like, I'll never understand it. You know, I can only try to see it from their point of view and try to put myself in that perspective. Like, you know, like, not trying to be macho or anything like that. Like, you're doing your fucking job, you know, and you walk up. I got three kids at home. I walk up on this 12-year-old who all of a sudden he's got a freaking, looks like a Colt in his pants. Like, it looks like a 45. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking to him and, you know, he pulls out, he reaches for the gun and pulls it out. Okay, you got a life choice right there.
Yeah.
It might be a BB gun or it might be a 45. If it's not a BB gun, I'm dead.
Your first thought is not, let me see that thing.
Right, no. I've already told him to put it down and he's not complying.
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, it's easy for us to sit here on this side of them, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, that cops are like freaking got halos or nothing, because far from it, you know, far from it. But, you know, put in that situation, like, how do you even...
Well, no, it's because there was a similar incident, I think it was last year at a Walmart. Guy was walking around Walmart waving a BB gun. Cops came in, and I guess he was playing around. Cops came in, shot him dead, and...
Yep.
Right.
And my take on that situation was, you're going to walk around in a public place waving something that doesn't look like it's a toy. That's
what this kid was doing. He was in a freaking park waving around. There's a bunch of kids around. All of a sudden, he pulls a gun out. Cops, what they think immediately is like, oh, shit, there's other people around. Eliminate, you know? Eliminate the threat, you know? And if you're too far away and he's already pulling the gun out, you're far enough away to where your taser isn't effective, what do you do? You know, what do? You got to ask yourself that question. I mean, these guys put themselves in this job, and it's a shitty job. Nobody likes them, and there's no respect at all for them. Everybody lies to them. And, I mean, if you're trying to do your job, let's say you're at doing your job, and I don't know exactly what you do, but from what I understand, you know, if a manager of a new store, all he's doing is arguing with you every time you say something, how are you going to react? You know, like, yeah, okay, you're not going to kill him because your job doesn't put you in the in harm's yeah. way, but you're getting disrespected, you know? And it's like, okay, you have some sort of authority because your company sent you there to make sure things are kosher, mm-hmm. right? So yep. you got some kind of authority there. You got the companies, you know, you're representing the company, you know? And their job is basically, okay, this person isn't complying with me and, you know, he's resisting, he's breaking the law, he's a danger to everybody else, me and everybody else around him. That it sucks. The 12-year-old had to mm-hmm. die over a BB gun, but the kid should have made a better fucking choice. Because at 12 years old, there's no fucking way I would have pulled a BB gun on a cop. No way. I would have been like pissing my pants if I had a BB gun in my pocket when the cop walks up to me.
Even if I thought I had balls big enough to swing a fake weapon around pretend threaten people with it. If the cops rolled up, I'd drop the shit and a load in my pants.
Right. And like, why is that?
I should have a BB
that?
Gun that I could definitely hold up in a convenience right. store with.
But why is that? Because our parents held us accountable and taught us responsibility and accountability.
Yeah.
That it's the culture we were raised in.
But if we're going to make the culture you were raised in argument, this is a black kid, African-American, whatever the hell we're supposed to say.
I wasn't going
there. But they're raised in a different culture as far as how they're supposed to treat the police. Like, they're, it, you know, it's...
Well, even black cops are whitey to them. I mean...
What's that?
Even black cops are whitey to them. You know, they're Uncle Toms to them. It's...
Yeah, they're... Right. Their top police are out to get them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's... I mean, that's a cultural thing.
Right. What about Michael Brown's father after
burned this bitch down?
Yeah.
His stepdad? Yeah, burned this bitch down.
Or I'm sorry, his stepfather. When he heard that there was not going to, that they were not going to try the cop, he said, he was screaming that there's no justice. I thought he said burn this motherfucker down, but maybe
that
was.
Burn this bitch down.
Burn this bitch down.
Yeah.
Okay.
And multiple times, screaming it.
Right.
So they were investigating him to see if he was inciting a riot.
Right, which it sounds like that's inciting a riot. It seems a pretty clear-cut case of somebody.
But they're not trying him. They're done investigating him. They're not going to. Yeah. So that was a case of, like, he was emotionally distraught.
They gave him a mulligan.
They gave him a mulligan, all right.
Big time.
You get this one free pass.
We give you a mulligan.
Yeah, you get this one free pass, but I'll tell you what, you cross the fucking street wrong, and I'm going to beat your ass, you know. I feel bad for that family.
Something I had to edit out of Monday or of this past Monday's Unregimented because, I definitely should not put what I said out. You know, that could have had legal ramifications on me.
Right. Don't want to do that.
No.
No, I feel bad for that family, but I mean, to riot. Like, really?
I saw a good quote today about it. I'm trying to find it here.
You know what Fox News says? Fox News says that we're all racist.
Of course.
And the reason being is that everybody's up in arms over what's going down in Ferguson, when only 20 miles away an Armenian man was beaten to death by a gang of teenagers wielding hammers. Which is a horrible story, yes. But...
We're talking about authority beating down an underprivileged person.
This is not part of the...
White police represent corporate America, and the black man represents the oppressed. And that's basically what the story's about. And I'm not trying to sound racist, but that's what their fight is about.
Yeah.
And man, Martin Luther King is rolling over in his grave right now.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's no, and plus, there's no Armenians versus the Super Mario Brothers war that's been going on for decades.
No.
So they failed to see the bigger picture.
Yeah. Well, it's Fox News.
Right.
Come on.
Did you read Frank Rich's piece on Fox News?
I did not.
Thought I sent the link out.
You may have, but I...
I didn't even get a chance to read everything I sent out.
I read about the HIV thing.
Yeah.
I read about... I didn't care about the critic of Obama's daughters. I don't fucking care about that.
Yeah. Okay.
FBI, I've already read
that
story.
But this kind of leads into the... This is where the Frank Rich story starts out with, is the response to the... What do they call the ceremony? Where the president pardons the turkey, Thanksgiving Day turkey.
Yeah. The turkey pardoning. I don't know.
The turkey pardoning. That works. It was, how did it start? I'm sorry. I'm losing my train of thought here real quick.
There's actually two turkeys that get pardoned. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, because they have the one that they expect to have pardoned and then they have the backup in case something happens to that one. And they both end up getting pardoned.
What do you mean in case something like the accident? Whoops. Accidentally made you dinner.
Well, no, like the one this year, I guess the one that was picked was like a little not, wasn't cooperating, like was a little kooky. So they brought in the backup.
The conservative turkey?
Yeah, they brought in the Republican.
There was a, damn it. There was a great quote I read about the riots, and I cannot find it.
Chris Rock said some good shit about it.
Chris Rock, what did he say?
He said some great shit about racial tensions in the United States. I got to find that because it's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
Chris Rock, racial tensions.
That could bring up like eight things.
Yeah, no, read Chris Rock's brilliant remarks about race in America. Let's see if I can find a video because I don't have to freaking read it.
Here we go. This was, her name is Professor Carol M. Swain. PhD, and I will qualify this with she's an African American, and her take on this is it's a message to the black people of Ferguson, Missouri. Leaders who incite violence are using one of the tactics that Cleon Skousen identified in his book The Naked Communist. A list of communist goals were read into the January 10th, 1963 congressional record. Here's goal number 42. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use, quote, united force, unquote, to solve economic, political, or social problems. I thought that was a good take on it.
So I'm unclear. Using violence like we use nuclear weapons, but country to country, it's like a threat.
That kind of sounds to me like, you know, if you
that nobody really wants to go forward with it.
Yeah, it sounds like to me like that. I don't know. Maybe I misunderstand it, but it sounded more like to me like if you protest, then you're a communist. That's kind of what that just sounded like to me.
From the moment I get in, it's Denise, we need this. Denise, we need that. Which is stressful, because my name is Linda. Denise is the other black woman that works here. By 10 a.m., someone in the copy room makes a joke about Kobe Bryant, and everyone looks at me to make sure it's okay. And I smile like it's okay. But really, my head and neck are starting to throb. Then I spend the rest of the afternoon training my interns and answering their questions like, yes, black people use shampoo, and no, I don't know any good reggae clubs around here. Yes, Condoleezza Rice is very articulate. Why do you sound so surprised? And no, I can't tell you where to buy weed. And that's when I reach for Excedrin. New Excedrin for racial tension headaches. It works fast. Taking me from, oh, no, you didn't, to I wish a mother would.
Excedrin for racial tension.
Nice. Oh no, you didn't! I wish a motherfucker would. That's that's funny shit. That's pretty racist.
Yeah, you could argue that bits like that aren't helping.
Oh, that's pretty racist.
Do you know who that was? Did you tell by your voice?
Is that the black chick from The Daily Show?
Nope, that was Queen Latifah.
Oh,
yeah. What was that from? Was she on Saturday Night Live or something? Or?
Yeah, that was from SNL. I guess the Fox News thing wasn't that interesting. Frank Rich just took four pages to say that they're pretty irrelevant these days. And that the only thing, basically the only thing that gives them power is the fact that liberals keep reacting to things that they say.
Who's them?
Who's them? Fox News?
Yeah. No, he's saying that they're pretty, like, what are you saying is irrelevant?
Fox News is irrelevant.
Oh.
As a news organization, they are irrelevant. It pointed to a lot of things, like the fact that their median age crept up 2 years over the course of 2013.
So now they're just for old people?
Well, I mean, increasingly, there's certainly not very many young people watching Fox News.
No, because they once a day I see something that somebody posts from them, or just makes me want to like crawl under a rock because I share some conservative principles. It's like, you know, it's once again, you're not helping. Stop it. Stop bringing Jesus into everything. You know, stop saying that the white man is downtrodden.
Right.
He's clearly not.
It's like you got a buddy and he's like, weed should be legal. And you're like, yeah, I'm on your side. He's like, yeah, because it cures everything like cancer and Ebola. And you're like, no.
No! Now I'm lumped in with you. That's what I don't. It's like, God damn it.
And when it comes right down to it, and any given issue, you have to be on one side or the other. So you have to, like, okay, if you think weed should be legal, then you believe that it'll cure Ebola. And people can't see any gray in it. So, yeah, they're like, oh, you're conservative. You watch Fox News. You believe everything that they say. You can't,
although
you
I'm
can't
sure,
even.
But there, I'm sure there's some segments on MSNBC that make some liberals cringe, too. Like, knock that shit off. You know, like.
There's, Yeah. It was kind of MSNBC that showed me that I wasn't really all that liberal. I thought I was a liberal. Turns out I was wrong.
Yeah, just every network's got it's becoming clear there's agendas at these networks. Mm-hmm. We're going to report on this. We're not going to report on this. Here's our stance on this. And that's, I don't know, from what I learned in high school about journalism, isn't that now not journalism? Supposed to be here are the facts? I mean, we've talked about this before. Is it supposed to be observe and report, and opinions are saved for the op-ed page or op-ed pieces?
I think this is an argument that has been going on since the birth of journalism, but is probably happens more often than ever now. And you'll get a lot of different opinions on that. I wish I could remember the interview, because it was on Fresh Air. There was a journalist who was being interviewed by Terry Gross, and he was adamantly like, no, you can't have journalism without opinion.
What?
Me going over to, you know, as a reporter, going over to Iraq is me showing you a part of the world through my eyes. You try to be as unbiased as possible, but that there's also limits to that. It's like what happens in Fox News and MSNBC all day long is you have some hot button issue and you have to show both sides of it. Like the evolution versus creationism. Like, that's not an argument.
No,
evolution has been proven.
Mm-hmm.
It's not up for debate anymore, but you have to show the other side. You have to be fair and balanced, right? And fair and balanced means that we put both the scientist and the preacher up on TV and have them battle it out. No, that's not news. That's not furthering anyone's cause or really being all that informative. But that's what Fox News did. Hate to keep going back to them, but you remember how crazy dominant they were? I mean, we had CNN, right? For like a decade, mm-hmm. It was CNN.
Yeah.
And you wanted to get your news off of television, that's where you watched it. And it was dry and kind of boring because, you know, it was on all the time when I was a kid. And I was like, oh, fuck. It's like either this or golf. But then Fox News came out and started drawing. They not only took a lot of eyeballs away from CNN, but created a new audience with their own form of, they'd love to put debate up on there, and people would debate about any stupid thing. And they kind of propagated this environment of, oh, we got to show both sides of everything, and everything has to be fair and balanced, and that's what journalism is. And it's not. I mean, yes, there is a difference between, like, oh, I'm just going to do a story on this political candidate and try and keep it as balanced as I can without showing any favoritism between just an opinion piece of, like, hey, I am promoting this candidate, you know? When it comes to journalism in general, especially the journalism that comes from outside of our outside of our own country, when we're learning about the world, it absolutely comes with an opinion, and it comes from a person. How can it not have opinion to it?
Yeah, and we're back into Jay's moniker here, the newsertainment.
Yeah, infotainment. So I know infotainment was tagged, but I like newsertainment better.
Did you see it was going around internet
okay,
today?
But I'll take, wait, real quick, though, because I take exception to that, kind of, because anything that's going to be, any article that you read that's going to be informative is going to be enjoyable to read, too. And if it's not enjoyable to read, then it's not getting its information across either. I understand what you're getting at when you're talking about infotainment. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
I'm talking like the Hannitys and the talking heads, like the people that people listen to they're not really saying anything worthwhile.
Yeah, but when you use that word, you're saying, okay, there's the other side of the coin where it's just all information and no entertainment.
I kind of lean that way though.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm entertained by just the information. So, I mean, I guess that encompasses everything you do. But,
yeah.
But I'd rather read a technical manual, though, than seriously, I'd rather read a technical manual than like most other books. That's just how my makeup is, you know? Yeah. Like, I'd rather do that. I'm silly like that. And there's no freaking entertainment in that.
I don't know. I'm just from the school that news stories should be the facts.
I agree.
Here's what happened. who, what, when, where, why.
Here's the facts that we have right now.
No, because a lot of this, a lot of your news, it's here's the facts.
And Obama sucks.
No, here's the,
it should be who, what, when, where, and why. Your opinion is not in that list.
No, but you have to. It's here's the facts, and here's why it should matter to you. Here's why you should care. And that has to go along with it, or else you're
based
not getting
to... Based on that person's opinion. Here's why you should care, based on my ideology.
Not even person, that corporations paid for opinion.
Okay, well, there was an article that I didn't get a chance to read in Wired, though, but it was basically about the idea of could a bot, a computer program that mines for information and looks at trends and looks at the information in the news stories and basically puts together a front page for you. And could this possibly be better than what anybody else is doing out there in traditional journalism?
My gut reaction is to say, yeah.
But then who wrote the algorithm? You know what I mean? Then it's going to be of their...
And I'm not saying... You're still getting information that's written by people. It's not like... This is a artificial intelligence that's, you know, looking around at the world and deciding what's important and writing pieces about it. But, I mean, that's the only way that you could have unbiased journalism, artificial intelligence, because any human intelligence comes with a bias. It's just
the
same way.
Us all,
the same way that you profile everybody that you encounter, how you make judgments about people that you know and you don't know. You cannot be no judge. Look at the Supreme Court. Aren't courts supposed to be unbiased platforms where we can judge people and issues and decide what's best for society? And we have people on the court who we know what their political affiliation is. Mm-hmm. We know pretty much how they're going to vote ahead of time. There's very little surprise coming out of the Supreme Court.
That's because they're appointed, not elected.
Yeah, you cannot have unbiased anything. You have humans, you have bias.
See, we'll agree to disagree on that one.
All right.
Because you can just write down, like I said, you can just write down who, what, when, where, and why. That is totally possible.
Right.
But
the who, what, where, when, and why on, for example, on what happened in Ferguson doesn't tell the whole story.
Hey guys, thanks for listening, thanks for clicking, thanks for liking, thanks for sharing, thanks for subscribing for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for telling a friend. I probably already said that, but that's how important it is because that's how podcasts work. We drop every Monday and Thursday. Check out all of the other shows on ChristopherMedia.net. So stay tuned, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.